Good morning, church. Here we are, finishing up Jonah. I'm glad that you've tuned in to watch this. It's been a challenging week for a lot of us. I know some schools have gone online, and several of our church members have been tested positive or are being tested, and I know that all of us know someone who's been affected by COVID-19, so it's a tough time. But you know, we just constantly want to remember these ideas of being one body, of coming together instead of getting a scarcity mentality and scattering and only looking to ourselves, continuing to look to Jesus, to look to his church and say, how can we be one body in Christ? How do we grow together? And so I'm thankful that you're tuning in. I'm glad that we get to worship this way and praise God for that. I'm glad that you're here. We're going to be finishing Jonah, and so I'm going to do it a little different this week. I've got this stuffed wolf here on this shelf that I'm not even sure if this is meant to be a bench, but I'm sitting on it. I've got my alligator rain boots, dinosaur rain boots, in case things get too deep. Boom, ching. Water deep rain boots, you get it. It was a bad joke, but we're gonna get in Jonah 4. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm gonna kind of set the scene of where we're at in Jonah 4, and I'd like to pray through it. Sometimes, maybe as a good practice for you at home, it's good to learn to pray through scripture, read scripture, ask the Lord what it means, and pray the truth that's in the scripture, that you'd understand it, that you'd be living it out. And so as a church, I want to be doing that. So we're going to be in Jonah 4, and there's some things going on in Jonah 4. If you remember from Jonah 3, what happens is Jonah finally goes into Nineveh, and he gives them this five-word Hebrew sermon that seems to leave out God. He doesn't really seem to emphasize the right things. It's just barely obedience, it seems like. And then Nineveh repents. The city turns. The king, he has everyone turned. Even says that the animals turned, right? And so it's just a big deal, like how God worked this out, that they repented. And the last verse in Jonah 3, verse 10 says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And so God forgave them. God didn't allow them to fall into ruin, to be destroyed. God forgave them because they repented. And so here we go. Right after this happened, Jonah did what prophets do. Prophets go. If you don't know anything about prophets in the Bible, here's what happens. A prophet comes in. They say, here's the word of the Lord. You need to turn. You need to repent. You need to change your mind. That's what the word repentance means. Change your mind. Turn away from these things and follow God. Give your life to the Lord. Trust him. Otherwise, you're going to lead to foolishness, death, destruction. That's what's going to happen in your world if you don't trust God. God's going to hand you over to your rebellion, and it'll lead to death, ruin, destruction, all those sorts of things. And so Jonah, as a prophet, this is a victory. He told the word of the Lord badly, and then they repented. And so he should be pumped. Here's what happens. Jonah chapter 4. And we're just going to read the first four verses here, and then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about them line by line and pray over them. 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Buzzkill. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Verse 1, Jonah is angry. Verse 4, God says, Is it good? You doing well with your anger? Is it good? Is it okay for you to be angry? Why are you mad, bro? Like, God's kind of challenging him here. Jonah clearly has hate and anger in his heart, right? Jonah didn't love the way he should. He didn't act the way he should. But if the message of Jonah was just, hey, don't be like Jonah, that'd be a little too easy. We wouldn't know quite what to do with these verses. I mean, sometimes we want to reduce the story into Jonah disobeyed, so don't obey. Jonah wasn't loving, so be loving. But I think something is also revealed here in Jonah's anger, in his hate. What is he so angry about? And can we relate to that? Or is the message simply, don't be a jerk like Jonah, love other people? Now, I think there's more here. Read with me slowly. Think about this. Read these verses together. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Why is he angry? Because he hates the Ninevites, right? He doesn't want to see them repent. He doesn't want them to be forgiven. Do you have people in your life that you don't want to be forgiven? Are there things that make you angry? Maybe it's not just about people that you hate. Maybe it's that things aren't going the way you want. What Jonah wanted, it seems, what I understand is Jonah wanted these people to be destroyed because he hated them. He didn't think they deserved it. He wanted to be the prophet that told them what they should do. They ignored him, and then God destroys them. That's what Jonah wanted. That was the kind of prophet he wanted. Jonah isn't getting his way. Things aren't going the way he perceives they should go with his role, and he's angry. I think we can relate. Has your motherhood not gone the way that you think it should go? You're not the mother you think you should be, or your kids don't act the way that you've mothered them to be, or your kids aren't as respectful as you fathered them to be, or your spouse isn't as loving as she should be or he should be because of the way you act, or that person doesn't drive the way that they ought to drive. I know the rules. I know how to drive. Get on the road in the right ways. And you get angry because things aren't going the way that you want. You've crafted the world in the way you see it should be and the way you think things should go. It displeased Jonah exceedingly to see what God wanted to happen, to see people forgiven, to see the world turned upside down by the love and the grace of God. He didn't like that, and he was angry. God, I pray that you would take away our unhealthy views of how the world should be, that you would help us release this idea that we're in control and that things should go the way we want. Forgive us for our anger. For the times I get angry, when family stuff doesn't go the way I want, when life doesn't go, when work, when relationships and things don't go the way I want, I get angry. I relate to that. And I pray that you would forgive me for that. And anyone watching this at home, that God, that you would move in our hearts to open up and to trust you, to not craft the world so tightly in the way we think it should be, that we result to anger. Because you tell us the fruit of your spirit is love, peace, joy, patience. God, may that fruit come out of us. And may we be quick to see anger in things that aren't those fruit in our life and question if those things are of you. God, may we lean to what you desire. That's 4, verse 1. So Jonah prays. He's angry. He says, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Man, what a silly thing to be mad about. Can you imagine looking at someone and saying, "I knew that you were merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. I knew that about you, you big jerk." Like, come on. But all of a sudden, like, you start thinking, wait a minute. Has Jonah crafted a world that he wants? And in his rebellion, he wants things to be the way Jonah wants. And he's so focused on himself that he can't accept that God's grace might ripple into people that he doesn't even like. God's love might ripple past just his preference and into other things. And it might require something of him beyond what he's willing to give. Because the love of God looks like God giving his life for you and me. Jesus died for the best of us, those of us who think we're great, and the worst of us, those who think we're too far gone, and everyone in between. Jesus died for all of us because we're all on the same playing field. We're all rebellious and separate from God. And sometimes as Christians, we draw these lines and we say, "Oh, I don't know, we don't want those people to take advantage of grace. I don't want those people to take advantage of God's love." And we become the guardians of God's grace and God's love and God's patience, kindness, whatever it is. God seems to be the God who freely gives. He gives and we receive. And our role is to say yes. Nineveh could have said no, but they didn't. They said yes. And Jonah's the one who's upset because it's not going the way he wants. I wonder if there's people in your life who, or situations in your life where you're not really wanting to see a gracious and merciful God speak into people's life, that you're not wanting to see steadfast love and slow to anger, relenting from disaster. See, we were created in the image of God. This is, actually, you might not know this. So this is, God quotes, this is Jonah quoting God himself. This is quoted 11 or 12 times all through the Old Testament. God says this about himself in Exodus 34. God's with Moses on the mountain, and God says, it's chapter 6, Exodus 34, 6. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin. So it says, he's quoting, Jonah's quoting this old thing. God said this about himself. This is who God is. And you were created in God's image. I was created in God's image. That's Genesis 1:27. Let us create man in our own image. In the image of God, he created them, both male and female. God created them. We were created in God's image. And of course, that image is a creator of good things, because that's what God did all through Genesis. He created things. He said, this is good. But then when God says things about himself, we got to think, well, that's the image of God. And am I reflecting that? And without stepping on too many toes, think about the situations right now. What are the things that bring us stress? As Christians, as the church, in your family, in you personally, as a wife, a husband, a brother, sister, family, employee, boss, what are the things that bring you stress? Has the COVID-19 situation been bringing stress? Has the election been bringing you tension and stress? And is your response to these things, could someone say, oh, I knew you were merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster? Could someone say that about the way you've approached the election, COVID-19, your family situations, your stresses at work? Or are you leaning the other way and you're exceedingly upset? It says Jonah was displeased exceedingly and he was angry. Let's read forward, because this is what it says about God. I want to jump to verse 3, because Jonah says this about God. He says, I knew you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting disaster. And then he says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That might seem a bit dramatic to a lot of us, but I think some of us in the dark places of our soul, we can relate to that. Maybe you've struggled with depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts. Maybe in general, it's not that deep for you. It's just the metaphorical world that you've created around you, you want to be rid of because it's not going the way you want. You've thought, man, if only I wasn't a mother today, if only I wasn't a husband today, if only I wasn't an employee today. You want your world to end because it's not going the way you want it to. And the God that you've put in your life, you're the God of your life. You say, I'm in control. I'm the one who's in charge. And interestingly enough, isn't that what the serpent said? The serpent said to Eve right from the beginning, no. When you eat the fruit, you'll be like God. And that's the big whisper. You're like God. You're in control. It's all up to you. You control whatever you want. It's a free country. Get whatever you want. Take whatever you want. Build up the empire of your dreams. It's all on you. And it leads to Jonah saying, I don't want to live in this world. Take my life from me. If Nineveh can be saved, then forget about it. I don't want to live. Because Jonah had created his own world so tight that he was the Lord of, that he was in charge of. His rebellion had gone so deep. And I think we relate to that. Maybe some of us are thinking, I don't want to live in a world where this person gets elected or where this situation happens or whatever. Maybe you don't want to live in a world where masks are an issue or COVID-19 is an issue. That's where we are. And as Christians, I don't think our response needs to be anger or needs to be this escapist mentality that needs to get out. I challenge you, hey, lean in. Lean into the struggles of your marriage. Lean into the struggles of your family. Lean into these things that are breaking you apart. Lean into the racism that you feel, that you see around, that's struggling. Quit avoiding these things and pushing them off. Quit saying, I'm just going to give up. I'd rather be dead. Quit letting your anger burn inside of you. Turn to God and say, God, I hear that you're merciful and that you want to relent from disaster, and you're gracious and you're abounding in steadfast love. You're slow to anger. And I'm supposed to have that image. I'm supposed to be like you, but I can't. I need you, Lord. Man, what if Jonah would have said that? What if he would have said, God, I can't get there. I want to, but I can't. Can you help me? Because I kind of want to. Now, Jonah just built his own world and just cut it off. And some of you today, this morning, need to hear that. You're cutting off God because you've created your own world and you're so angry. You're so unhappy. You're displeased exceedingly because it's not going the way you want it to. But you were created for this image. You were created to create good things, to be someone who is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Is that how you're approaching the problems in your life? Are you seeing the fruit of the Spirit come out of you? Right? Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit. Sermon for another time, but love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Are those things coming out of you? Or is it just anger, exceeding disappointment, displeasure? What do you relate to here? God ends this by verse 4, and the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? God, we don't do well to be angry. Lord, we want to bear your image. We don't want to live in this world that is exceedingly displeasing to us because we've crafted our own worlds and we're angry. I want to confess and admit that some days I'm there. I'm just displeased. I'm uncomfortable. I was there today, 4 or 5 hours today. I just laid around and just wasn't happy with the day. I didn't like the rain. I didn't like the... It's just a Krabby Patty day, God. And I know so much of my time gets spent crafting the world that I want. And we do this. I talk to people. We craft this world that we want. And then when it falls apart, we're just angry. And you say that you're a God of grace and mercy, steadfast love, slow to anger, relenting from disaster. God, please help us to be like you, to be in that image, that you would change our hearts, that we would repent, that we would have the posture of Nineveh, that would just fall down before you and worship you and say, you are beyond me, Lord, and I need you. God, I pray that we would be that way. Forgive me of my anger and my displeasure. Help me to lean into you and to bear your image as you've created me to, that you would change my heart. And I pray that you would change the hearts of those watching of our church, that we would be the kind of people to reflect you. Amen. John 3:16. Of course, we know God's great love and mercy. Says God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The call to Nineveh is the same call to you today. God loves you. He doesn't want you to die and be eternally separated from him in eternal punishment. He doesn't want that for you. He loves you so much that he wants a relationship for you. He came down and he died for you through Jesus Christ. He taught you how to live, read about Jesus' life. That's what he intended for us, because he loves you. But you can rebel against him. You can choose to say, I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to end in pain and suffering. I'm going to end in foolishness. And you'll be angry, exceedingly displeased, just like Jonah. And you'll want to blame God, just like Jonah did. Why are you so angry? Why are you so displeased? For God so loved you that he gave Jesus, so that when you believe in him, you won't perish, you'll have eternal life. Give your life to Jesus. There's these verses in Ephesians 2 I come back to so often. I'm going to read them one more time for us as a church. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that you can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God created the world and he said it was good. He is a creator of good things. He created you in his image to create good things. Jesus Christ, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are you walking in the good works of the Lord? God created your life. He has a reason for you. Please lean into that. God has a reason why you're going through what you're going through, and he has a plan and purpose for you. And sin and rebellion and anger and hate, all those things come up to destroy these things in our life. But God says, I'm a God slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, grace and mercy, relenting from disaster. God wants to forgive you. He wants to give you life. He wants to lead you through these things. Sure, they'll be hard sometimes. You'll have growing pains and things that refine you and trials and struggles to grow. But the Lord says he's with us always. Are you giving those things to the Lord? The thing that I want you to ask yourself today, what are you exceedingly displeased with and why? Is it COVID? Be real. Is it COVID-19? Is it your family? Is it your spouse? Is it the election? The world's not spinning the way you want it to, the way I want it to. What are you angry about? And hear the words of God. He says, do you do well to be angry? Why are you mad? Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and I am with you always. So go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all things I've commanded you. Man, what a beautiful world, church. What if we were doing that? What if we were going, hey, you don't need to be angry. You don't need to be displeased because there is a God who's merciful, who's gracious, who loves you. You don't have to go through the world that you're going through like this. Don't look at it this way. Don't be so angry. You can have peace through Jesus because God so loved you that he sent his son to die for you. God, help us believe this. We offer these verses to you. May these become our posture. And I pray that you'd be stirring in our heart, those of us who are angry, who are exceedingly displeased with the way things are going, that we would turn to you, that we would trust you and think about who you say you are. From Exodus 34 to Jonah 4, these words that you say about yourself, the fruit of the Spirit that you say are in us through Christ, the way that you've saved us, that you've created us for good works. God, I pray that all these things would connect in our lives and that we would be your disciples and we would be inviting other people to be those disciples, that we would be saving them from the disaster coming into their life through Jesus Christ because we know the truth. Teach us to not be lazy or angry or arrogant. God, help us release these things because I struggle with it. I'm struggling with it now, thinking about so many things that I got to get done. I trust you, Lord. Teach our church to trust you more. Thank you, God, for being a God who is graceful and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Thank you for Jesus. We love you, Father. Amen. Think about why you're mad this week, why you're displeased. Open up your hands. Trust in the Lord who says all authority has been given to him. And he's with you.